This is Central Time. Bike share programs have become more of a staple in larger cities over the years, including a few Wisconsin communities. Many have been pushing to move beyond a symbol of downtown novelty into a genuine part of the local transportation system. But with some programs only accepting payments via credit card or smartphone, some people are left unable to participate. Many cities are making moves to make bike share programs more approachable for lower-income residents, including expanded services in underserved neighborhoods. Teresa Wiltz wrote about bike sharing for Stateline. Teresa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, a lot of people around the state have seen bike share in action. A lot of people haven't. Can you start by giving us the basics? What is bike share?
So bike sharing is basically where you pick up a bike. It used to be that they were only at a certain station in a certain part of town, but now they're dockless, so you can pick one up anywhere if it's just parked on the sidewalk, and rent it for a short period of time. And they're really popular. They got their start in D.C., where I live, about 10 years ago, and they're really popular among certain sets of folks. And, you know, it's seen as a way you don't have to bring your bike with you everywhere you go, and you can zip from one place to another fairly quickly and easily.
You just mentioned they're associated with a certain set of folks, and you write that they're often associated with more well-to-do, often white audiences. Why is that?
Well, I think it's a perception. I mean, I think one of the things that happened was when it first launched in D.C., which is a predominantly black and brown city, overwhelmingly, but it was mainly the first stations were set up in more tourist-friendly areas, you know, more predominantly white neighborhoods, and so there was not a lot of service in areas that serviced black and brown communities, regardless of income. I mean, I live in a predominantly middle-class homeowner, predominantly homeowning, you know, black and brown neighborhood, and we didn't get bike share stations for quite some time in my neighborhood. So, I mean, I think, and part of that reasoning was that they wanted to, this is a big experiment. It's very popular in Europe, but in the States, it was a new thing. You wanted to prove it could work. So the idea was to kind of try to get the most traffic and the most ridership early on so that you could keep it going and justify the cost of running these programs. So,
and are they seen as successful, at least those first experiments?
The experiments for bike sharing or to expand?
For bike sharing in the first communities they put them in, as you said, the tourist and more well-to-do and higher trafficked areas.
Yes. And it quickly caught on around the country. So, like as I said, D.C. was the first, and then it expanded. I think the next was New York. And other cities around the country quickly picked up. So, they proved to be very popular, and you know, both among tourists and among residents themselves. So,
and you write that a lot of communities now are saying, okay, the next step is getting other people on board, especially people who haven't had access to this or been able to afford it. Is this something you're seeing happen in a lot of cities now?
Yeah, you're starting to see it more. So Philadelphia was the first city to say from the start that they were going to incorporate, you know, think of everyone and try to make it as expansive as possible from the outstart. So so then they launched, I think, in 2015. And from the beginning, they said, okay, we want to make sure everybody's included, that everyone feels included. So they did a lot of outreach. They engaged community ambassadors in neighborhoods to, you know, have bike parties, to, you know, just get people engaged. They also created, for a lot of people who don't have credit cards or access to credit cards, we're increasingly becoming a cash-free society, but for a lot of people, that's a big barrier. You need a credit card to rent a bike or a smartphone. So they created stations at local stores where you could go and pay for your membership in cash, and they also, in 2016, rolled out discounted memberships for lower-income people who receive state benefits. So Philly was the first to really, like, they even had digital literacy classes and bike riding classes together. Like, so they were finding ways to just really get people engaged in, you know, this 21st century style of transportation. new old form of transportation.
And one obvious problem, I guess, is if you're only putting these bike stations at first or the bikes themselves in the tourist area or the higher income parts of town, that's going to lock out a lot of people. Is it just a matter of the geography of where you put these bikes as part of the story here?
That's part of it, yes. I mean, certainly. I mean, and that's the other thing is that both Philadelphia and Detroit, which launched their program last year, made sure that they were expanding, you know, that they were represented in a wide swath of the city, not just, you know, certain exclusive neighborhoods. So, yeah, because in some cities, like in the San Francisco area, there was so much hostility towards this perception that bike shares were for yuppies that someone, I think it was last year, took one of the bike share bikes and totally mutilated it and hung it from a tree and then posted it up on social media. And you had all this, you know, applause and clapping on social media from people who, you know, thought that the bike shares were just for, you know, the avocado toast.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Teresa Wiltz for joining us, senior staff writer covering social services for Stateline. She joined us to talk about bike share programs in cities across the U.S. and initiatives some are taking to make bike sharing more affordable for low-income residents.